WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at Fadley's doing the Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. Well, I want to remind everybody, make sure you hear my conversation with Lisa Rosiniak, president and CEO, jobs training at Goodwill. And crab cakes. But we had fried oysters.
Holy
for the
mackerel.
First time Woo. In this space, they brought me. I remember the first time they brought me the mac and cheese.
Was that really the first fried oyster you've ever eaten? Maybe?
First good one.
Holy mackerel.
I mean, I've had soggy ones.
Attorney General, thank you. We say goodbye to Attorney General Frost.
We've had a heck of a day here, man. We've had a lot of mind power going on.
A lot going on down here in Fadley. Soon to come to Catonsville. Right. They're going to be across the street. And in Catonsville. Now, that's prolific.
Well, you know, it's political season. We get political candidates. And as I warned you 4 years ago, when we began this journey of doing Baltimore Positive, we would get to meet really cool people. So I'm going to let you do the honors
here. We're meeting really cool people today.
Now, he's official and endorser, so he's always careful.
I get it out there.
And all that. I don't even know you. How the hell can I vote for you? So
right.
You know what I mean?
Well, we're
so that's so. Let, so
you're going to get to know me here soon, and you will vote for Wes Moore in a room.
Well, I've had Wes. I know Wes, so I can I can say I know Wes. But I'm open. I'm voting, and I'm going to vote. And my vote's not given away yet. So
okay.
You can win me over.
Hey,
Nestor is right.
That's what I plan to do.
Nestor is right. We are delighted to have visiting Baltimore Positive, Aruna Miller, running for Lieutenant Governor with Wes Moore. And Nestor is also correct that I always start in the air of transparency by saying that I have endorsed Wes and Aruna. I think they are going to be terrific governor and lieutenant governor for the state of Maryland. Having said that, we plan to have all of the candidates. We plan to cover this race very carefully. I have a number of good friends running for governor.
I'm not
Nestor
telling,
has
so
friends walking in.
Former Terps walking in. That's all. That,
it's a lot happening here. So, Aruna Miller, welcome to Baltimore Positive.
Thank you very much. I am feeling the energy between you two and Lexington Market.
This is exactly what I needed. This is your first trip.
You're
a Montgomery County gal.
I've never been here.
And she walked through.
Yeah. All those bad things you hear about Baltimore, none of it's true.
None of it's true. It isn't. This is such a soulful city, and this place has got personality.
Right?
And that's what we need more in this world, is personality.
Isn't it amazing? What was your take, Aruna? I'm delighted when folks come for the first time to Fadley's or to Lexington Market. You came, you hung out. I hate to tell Jamie Raskin, vegetarian. Another one, Jamie. You guys have to break.
By the way, hold on. I had a conversation last week. I did a piece with the Baltimore Chamber Jazz Society, so I want to give them some love. They do their thing up at the BMA, and he said to me, well, we get together at Gertrude's, and I'm like,
there you go.
Gertrude's has apparently a vegetarian crab cake.
A tofu crab cake, Shields.
So we, at some point, we're going to gather all of our
vegan friends.
Calvin Ball, Dan Howard.
Calvin's
County.
Another one.
No, he's shellfish intolerant.
When
you do a crab cake tour, you learn all of this.
Yeah, Calvin said, I'd love to have a crab cake, but I can't.
That's how you get to meet people.
But you came in today and said, we love it when people come to the market for the first time. You walk through. Give us your impressions.
It is filled with total warmth. I mean, first of all, you two guys are just like unbelievable, right? Screaming at
scream.
And Rodney Elliott from the Maryland Terps just walked by.
There you go.
Celebrities walking through.
I love it. You're not in the box. You're out of the box. You're free to be who you are, and that's what we need. And then we
Should
got
my hair down.
Huh?
Let me let my hair.
Oh, I love it. There you go.
He just scared all the women and children. And you met the one and only Dami Hahn.
Dami, yes, unbelievable. Talk about warmth and affection and, wow, hearing her stories about, the struggles that she's facing with the federal government, trying to get through the permitting process and so forth, licensing, it breaks my heart. And that's why we need to have representatives that are going to be out there fighting for people like Dami. Yes.
Aruna, thanks for bringing that point up, because Nestor and I have had our heads exploding for months and months and months now over two issues. Number one, and they're both absolute no-brainers, right? Number one, farm workers who come on visas to work for a season, there's no limit. You can have as many come as you want. from other countries
because
to work
the
farms.
Because we need to pick the food.
But in terms of crab pickers, seasonal worker, they're limited, and it becomes survival of the fittest. You go into a lottery, a couple people get some, a couple people don't. Maryland's most vital industry, it's awful for a place like that. That's ridiculous. And then you factor in that, think of this, folks, and then we're going to turn to Arun, but it makes me so crazy I always have to talk about it. So if I'm on food assistance today, I can walk into Wise Markets, I can go to the fish counter and buy a piece of flounder, and use my assistance card. Makes perfect sense. It's what you ought to be doing, eating healthy. However, if I live downtown and Fadley's is my primary source of food locally because we don't have Wise Markets and others down here, I come in here to buy a piece of fish, I can't use my assistance card. Now, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Well, Don, you've got to be making that up. Damien, am I making that up?
No, you are not making that up.
Damien says I am not making that up. So, come on,
Congress. Can't use food stamps in a food market.
In a food market. It makes me insane. All my friends in Congress, all of you, I know you know this is wrong. Fix this damn thing, please. It's driving me crazy. But now, let's turn to Aruna. Westmore came to you. Tell us about that moment.
Yeah,
I hear Wes.
You know Wes. Like, give me a little Wes.
Talk
story.
About that moment where it was like this marriage, as the way Wes described it. He said, man, he said, I was the most nervous I've been since I asked Dawn to marry me.
So this is how I came to know Westmore. First of all, you hear from lots of people. They're like, hey, have you met this guy, Westmore? He's really incredible. You need to meet him. He's really this. He's really that. And so I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. And so just in October of 2021, I get a text from the campaign, and they say, Westmore would like to meet you. And I'm like, okay, I'll meet Westmore again. So I, you know, the night before, I do my research on him. I OD on Westmore. I go on the internet. I find out everything about him. I watch YouTube interviews of him. And then I got the book, and I read his book, which is, you know, really quite compelling, The Other Westmore. And I'm like, okay, he's pretty impressive, but, you know, I'm a good judge of character. I'm going to go meet this Westmore.
I'm going to see if he can be as good as what's in
this
book.
Yeah, exactly,
right?
Exactly. Or more importantly, what everyone that I've ever heard talk about Westmore, talk about how brilliant he is. And I've been in the political circles for quite some time, and I've met a lot of candidates during this time. So my husband and I meet him in the end of October in Baltimore, and we're listening to him. And talk about not just an engaging speaker that he is, he's an engaging listener. He was asking me for our input. Then most importantly, that I think is important in a leader, not only did he have the vision, but he has this genuine sense of empathy for others. And I think it comes from his compelling life story because he's been through the struggles that other Maryland families currently continue to face. And I think that's what sold me the most about him. And my husband and I both walked away. We were like, Westmore's going to be the next governor of Maryland, and we're going to do anything we can.
Now, Wes didn't get down on one knee or anything,
no,
did he?
No, he did
when he said,
not.
When he didn't get down and do the TV moment where, will you be my LG?
It was almost like that, Don. Okay, my kids tease me that I'm turned into a meme because what they did when he actually asked me to be his LG, we had a Zoom call because we were right in the height of the Omicron, right? So he tells, his campaign reaches out to me and says, hey, is it okay? We're going to videotape it. I'm like, why are you going to videotape this? And I have no idea. That's the question he's going to, ask me. I'm thinking he's going to tell me I'm not the one that he picked. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. So as Wes and I are having this conversation, I totally forget that it's being recorded. And finally, Wes asks me. And I have this very genuine, you know, reaction, as my kids say, very goofy reaction to it. And he catches
like you'd gotten the rose on The Bachelor
exactly.
or something, right?
God, that's what they said. They said, why didn't Wes just reach out through the Zoom window and hand you over a rose? And then they put this on social media. And it was just like so embarrassing, but very genuine, and I couldn't be happier. I feel like that's...
Did you aspire to be a politician?
No.
It doesn't seem that way.
Never.
Like, that's a great segue. Tell us...
Thank you. I ask you questions.
That is okay. Yeah, you've done this for a while. Well, tell us
I'm an accidental politician.
Introduce... introduce yourself to our audience.
He was an accidental politician.
Yes. Yeah. I see. I want to be just like Don.
No, well, no, I know somebody died.
He is the quintessential. No, I do. He is a quintessential public servant.
Oh, thank you. Talk about yourself. So, tell us about your journey, because you're an immigrant.
Yes, I'm an immigrant. So I came to this country when I was 7 years old from India.
What part of India?
From the southern part, a state called Andhra Pradesh.
Okay, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah? Have you been there?
Well, I remember it was
Loves Indian food. You got to understand, one of his passions is Indian food.
So, I know Bombay, Calcutta, Delhi.
Hyderabad?
That's okay. That's where you're from.
Yeah,
okay.
That's where I'm from.
I studied India in the sixth grade, and so I learned a little bit about Hindu. I just learned what 6 year, 10 year old kids would learn. I've never been to India, though.
Well, it's much like Lexington Market. We have personality there. India's got a lot of personality.
Every Indian I've ever known has a lot of personality.
Thank you.
So tell you come here at 7.
Yeah.
And then describe the journey. I mean, first of all, talk, because now we're smack dab in the middle of it again with the Ukrainian crisis. Yeah. And our hearts ache every night when we watch children. And I know you weren't escaping that kind of persecution. But you're here at 7 and you still have to assimilate to a new culture. Talk about that journey.
Oh, yeah. So let me tell you my first day of school. So I'm 7 years old.
Where were you?
I was in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Ha ha.
Yeah.
All right.
That's where
you landed. That was America.
That was America, right?
Okay.
First day of school, I walk in, don't know a word of English, walk in, none of the kids look like me, so I can't communicate with them, but you still want to assimilate, right? You want to blend in with your peers. So where's the best place to do that? When you go eat in the cafeteria, right? Food is a great collector of individuals to come together.
Had you never seen pizza or something?
Seriously, I had not. That's right, I'm not kidding. So I sit down at the cafeteria table with my classmates, and I do everything that they're doing. I eat American food for the first time. I drink cold milk for the first time. I've never had cold milk, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm just like my, friends.
Was it off-putting? Was it nervous for you?
It was so off-putting, Don, that when I went back to the classroom, I proceeded to vomit everywhere.
That's what I was wondering.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so my mom had to pick me up. She takes me home.
Welcome to America.
I like to make an entrance, right, everywhere I go. So I go home, and I'm crying, and I'm telling my mom, I don't want to stay here in this country anymore. I want to go back to Grandma. That's who raised me. By the end of the day, we hear a knock at the door, and it's one of my classmates. I open the door. She's got a stack of paintings in her hand. With little, smiley faces, ones with teardrops coming and hearts. The teacher in the classroom knew exactly the pain and isolation I was feeling. She wanted the kids to recognize that. She was teaching them empathy. And I
was beautiful.
What a teaching moment.
It was.
I hope you're still in touch with this teacher.
Wow.
I'm not.
What a moment, though.
And I felt instantly like I belonged. In that second.
Well, you're talking to a teacher here.
Teachers play such a valuable role.
Well, it warms my heart when you say that, because it's what we want teachers to be. So I'm going to make a really far-reaching assumption here. But most students that I know came from other cultures over my career in education.
Yeah.
Education was such a value in their home. I used to joke that my Asian students at Lansdowne High School would make sure they were in the front row. And it wasn't me having to go to the hall to say to kids, guys, the bell rang, get into daggone class, would you?
Right.
The Asian students were up front, pen out, mom and dad expect you to teach me something.
Yeah.
Is that the household? Is that your household?
Are you kidding? My dad even said that, hey, you're going to be an engineer when you get older.
There you go.
Why did your family bring you to America? When you were 10 years old, did you understand why you were here?
Okay, so I'll tell you a story why I'm in public service, which ties into why my dad came to America. So I, as an immigrant, wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the hard fought battles of civil rights, black civil rights activists who were tortured, beaten, hosed for my right to be an American. Because when you throw a bold progressive idea like the 1964 Civil Rights Act, it has a ripple effect. Lyndon Johnson at the time and America were all of a sudden aware of their own racial inequities and inconsistencies that were awoken by the Civil Rights Movement Act, that they lifted the racial quotas at the borders and passed the Immigration Act of 1965, which allowed a whole new set of immigrants to come to the United States and call themselves American. So my father was one of those that had this incredible opportunity. He's a mechanical engineer. And they were also looking for people in the engineering fields because of NASA and science and space and all of that was taken off then. And that's the reason why. My family came, and I'm indebted to those civil rights activists, and that's why I got into public, service.
Well, tell us about that. Tell and educate our listeners. It goes to Nestor's question. How does this young lady, whose dad says you're going to be an engineer, end up serving in the Maryland House of Delegates?
By total accident, okay? So as an immigrant, it's not normal that when you're sitting at the kitchen table, at least back when I was growing up in the 70s, you're not talking about politics at the kitchen table. You're just trying to assimilate yourself into the new world, stay under the radar, work hard, study hard, respect your teachers, all of that, right? So I really was never an engaged citizen, so to say, until I became an adult. It was actually in the year 2000 that I became a citizen for the first time. Because when you have a green card, which my parents did and so did I, you have just about access to everything except that you can't vote. So I'm married.
The last hurdle.
Yeah, that's the last hurdle, sure, right. Okay. So I become a citizen in the year 2000. I go to vote in the polling booth. I cry because it was such a profound moment. And I vote for my candidate, Al Gore. And I'm like, he's going to crush it. He's going to be your next president. I come out,
Florida,
537.
Tim Russert's whiteboard. Florida, right? Florida, Florida.
So that changed my mind, and I'm like, whoa. Voting is not enough. I need to do more than that. So I called up the local Democratic Party and I said, what can I do to help? I have no idea what you all do, but I want to help. So I started off as a precinct official and then went served on the Democratic Central Committee. And then an opening came up and people asked me to run for this open seat. And I said, oh, that's really nice of you. Thanks for calling, but no thanks. And I hung up. And my husband's like, what did you just do? Did you just say no to them? And I said, yeah. I go, look, I'm an engineer. I'm not a politician. I don't know what it's like to be
now,
that.
Now, were mom and dad still living?
Yes.
What was their reaction?
My dad had passed away.
I know
mom,
I know you were big on this engineer thing.
Right.
But
I was still an engineer.
Okay.
Right? I'd already spent a number of years being an engineer. I got it. My husband's like, look, it's not about being a politician. You love public service. That's what you're doing right now. This is another way to expand that role. And so eventually I got in, and, I had all the doubts that a typical first-time candidate has. Oh, what if I lose? What if this happens? What if blah, blah, blah? Whatever. I didn't lose, and I was fortunate enough to become the delegate in District 15 of Montgomery County.
Well, let's go back for a minute again. I was thinking about, I don't know that I've ever talked to someone who became a naturalized citizen. So you're back in 2000.
Yeah.
Describe that. You take these tests, you pass.
Right.
There's a moment, I'm assuming, when you're notified that you've passed and you're a citizen. How does that work? I'm trying to get to that
moment. My father became a citizen here and then left the country back in 1980. I'm sure it was different. But there is a moment, right? Like, is it a test, a card, an email, something like that?
University of Maryland. I'm telling you, everybody.
Hello.
Everybody's here today. Aruna Miller, running for lieutenant governor.
Hi.
We're live on the air right now. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
That's all right. We love shock trauma.
Go ahead.
So I think some immigrants may face that challenge a little bit harder than I did. But given the fact that I went to school here and I spoke and I knew American history, that wasn't a problem taking the test. I went right through it. So then you get notified and you get to go and get sworn in. And that's a very profound moment.
Okay, so there's a swearing in?
Yeah, there's a swearing in.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
It was
that
awesome.
How many people with you getting sworn in?
I would say probably on that day, maybe around 80 or 90.
Is this a federal courthouse? Where do you go to do this?
Yeah, it was right down in D.C.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Is there a family celebration that night?
Yeah. It was amazing. It's like, why didn't I do this sooner?
Okay.
It was like one of those moments.
What a moment.
But I'm so glad. Yes.
What a great place. Let's take a break.
Let's come back
and talk policy. And I want to know what...
I want to talk transportation.
I want to know what government's going to look like under Wes Moore and Aruna Miller when we come back
All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play Betty Boop giveaways. We got these scratch-offs. I've been giving them away around here. I got my eyes at it. I'm running a little short, but we'll get some more for Greenmount Station and the Chaucer and some of the other places we're going, including G&A Coney Island Hot Dog up in White Marsh with my pal Andy. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.